Hello, my name is Tucker Johnson, and I am your host today as we experience NIMSY Live, where we talk about the latest and greatest in translation, localization, internationalization, culturalization, and all that fun stuff global companies need to delight their international customers. On this program, we invite guests who like to have fun and have some value to add for our audience of globalization professionals. I'm always eager to provide a platform to those with a good story or a good data set. So, let us know if there are any topics you'd like covered or guests we should reach out to for future episodes. If you haven't already done so, make sure that you are following NIMSY Insights here on LinkedIn, where we're coming to you live. You can also subscribe to us on YouTube. We have a very comprehensive YouTube channel with a bunch of workshops, a bunch of past live streams are all archived there, and other good resources for you, as well as X, formerly known as Twitter, Facebook, and pretty much anywhere else, Instagram as well. Quick plug before we get into this today. I wanted to take this moment to remind you guys that we have a localization industry calendar over at NIMSY. Go to nimsy.com/events. And this is a super useful tool that you can use to help plan your conference strategy in what's left of 2025 and beyond. We have remote conferences, online conferences, we have in-person conferences. There's all sorts of filters that you can use. You can even sync it directly to your Outlook or Google Calendar. So, a great resource for you. I just wanted to plug that because a lot of people have been telling me they've been using it, and it's a really good resource. So without further ado, I want to get into it. Today, we are talking about how AI is disrupting the voice localization space, as well as trailblazing entirely new services that weren't even viable just a few short years ago. We're going to talk about how AI is changing the localization landscape, the ethical responsibilities of voice cloning, and what the future holds for studios, LSPs, and global content creators. Our guest today is Tim Hunt, founder of Atavox and the mastermind behind the Atavox localization platform. Tim has over 35 years experience in the localization industry, and he's pioneering technology that blends AI, linguistics, professional voice work to make high-quality multilingual video content faster and more accessible than ever before. Atavox uses 12 AI models to assist linguists and voice artists with everything from audio separation and transcription to automatic translation into 130 plus languages, and even realistic voice cloning into 70 plus languages. And if that wasn't enough, Tim and his team are pushing the boundaries with lip syncing technology and real-time multilingual meeting tools. It's quite a bit that you've bitten off here. Let's see if we can chew it up a little bit today, Tim. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Tucker. It's good to be here.
Yeah. So I always try to provide an introduction that's going to do justice to everybody, but you and I have had a chance to sync up and talk about everything beforehand. And what you're doing is really, really interesting with AI and voice, particularly because voice is one of those areas that's typically been, let's call it, resource intensive in the past. You know, it's not scalable in the same ways that written content is so much. It requires a lot of human interaction. But with recent advancements in AI, a lot of opportunities are opening up out there that historically just weren't on the table. So start off by telling me a little bit about yourself, about Atavox, and really where I'd like to focus that is, what is the market gap that you identified and decided to go after? What is the opportunity here? And why is this something that, why now? What makes now a good time to be getting into this?
Well, that was several questions. I'll start with first,
Pick your favorite and ignore the rest.
It's good. I'll try to remember them and see if I can cover them there. But yeah, no, I started out as a linguist and a translator and interpreter, worked with videos and movies and a lot of translation. I supervised translation worldwide for an NGO for 14 years in 85 languages in 50 countries. I traveled all those countries and set up teams and worked on stuff. So, and that experience has actually helped me a lot in creating Atavox and what we do, because it gave me a good background in language that I can see patterns across the world that I didn't you know, I wouldn't have seen if I just knew a couple languages or worked with only a couple. Now, I don't speak those languages, but I got into them pretty good, though. You know, my co-founders and I, Per Anderson and John Sidnor, we founded Atavox a few years ago. We just kind of bootstrapped it. We put it together, although we've had some good support, too. We had NVIDIA early on stepped up and gave us $25,000 through some AWS credits, which is great when you're bootstrapping, you know, and that was really helpful. And
yeah, and when you're bootstrapping, $25,000 is a lot of money.
It was good. They were one of the first ones to step up. We really appreciated their efforts on that through their program they have there. And then Google came in, and they've given us about $300,000 worth of cloud credits. That's been invaluable. They've really been really good to us on that. So, and we did raise kind of just a incubator plan with Open Teams, $250,000 early on. But we spent all that on some early a developer that helped us on the front end a little bit, just a junior guy. And then we had a brilliant intern that we brought out of BYU, Bryant MacArthur, that just did a great job helping us with a lot of our AI. And then he went on to get his master's at Texas A&M, and he still works with us here and there. So so it's been good. We had a good team. But the now back to the next question, then. What is the reason we started this and stuff? And part of it is I just always love doing technology. I can remember when I started out in the industry, I was on a Wang computer, and I programmed 255 macros, one macro to write 255 macros to do a language, just making sure we were consistent in terminology and documents we were translating. So
a true nerd never forgets his first macro.
Anyway. I went on, I founded and started Lingotech, which I sold out of in 2008, and it went on to be sold again and such. But that technology was fun to work on, but that was documents and stuff. And then when AI started becoming a little more prevalent on certain areas, because I've always had these ideas that we could do this, but the AI wasn't there. And 5 years ago, when I first started thinking about doing the lip dubbing, for making sure it looked like it was filmed in the foreign language. There was just some precursor stuff to that. There wasn't really anything out there at that time. But I had the ideas, and I didn't find any engineers that knew how to do it. So I actually started studying AI and started writing my own code and building my own models and stuff. And so, and I've been doing a lot of that for the last 5 years and lots of different things. But that's kind of where we're at. But the real purpose here is to use this AI. One of the challenges that I think we see out there is you get a lot of AI that is built that it's just an API into something or whatever. It's not really designed to work with the person who has to do the job. And so those are the things that I want to fix as we go forward. And well, so
with AI, what I've seen over the last few years, 3-4 years, is it's coming into its own, and it's becoming more and more practical and realistic. It's not aspirational, right? 3 or 4 years ago, AI was aspirational. It's like everyone wanted to use AI, so they were implementing AI. Why? Because they wanted to use AI, right? Nowadays, I'm seeing, when I have these conversations with people like you, I'm seeing much more grounded products, like, this is the problem that we're trying to solve, and here's how we're using AI to do it. So it's starting with the challenge and then implementing AI for creative solutions, rather than starting with AI and seeing what we can do for this. And no disrespect to that, that was a phase that we had to go through in order to get here.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, it's exciting time to be a a simultaneous language and technology nerd. Right, because there's a lot of language nerds out there. There's a lot of technology nerds out there. The lang tech nerds were kind of a rare breed, right? And it's a really exciting time to be one of those.
Yeah, it is. It is fun, mainly because, and I spent a lot of time reading a lot of research papers. I mean, I don't invent the new stuff that comes out. I just find the brilliant minds that are already coming up with the great ideas, and we find ways to make it work. So there's a lot of people doing a lot of research, and there's so many new papers coming out all the time. It's hard to keep up. So, but go ahead.
Well, fair enough. I just want to make sure So let's talk about the tool that you have developed here, because it's really interesting, and I want to make sure that our audience is aware of all of the stuff that you're actually doing here. So you're doing subtitle, and it's all AI driven. We're talking about subtitling, we're talking about auto mimicry, we're talking about lip syncing, which I really want to get into. So let's put a pin in that. Let's talk about subtitling versus voice dubbing first. And the reason I want to talk about that is you're out there, you're talking to potential customers, you're talking to the people that are using your product. Have you noticed any shifts in the old subs versus dubs debate? Is subtitling becoming more or less popular versus voice dubbing? Are you seeing an increased demand for voice cloning? What have you noticed out there?
So what I've seen around the world is each culture and language seems to be have their own tolerances for how they interact with a video or a movie that was done in another language originally. You get into France, they don't tolerate much bad lip dubbing and other things like that. It's really hard to get into countries like China, and they're used to subtitles all the time because, you know, they have the characters there, and there's 10 different people that use the same characters to read it. So you get all those differences based on the cultures that you're working with. But, you know, this has kind of been my goal. I provide the transcription if they want that. We do that for free. We do the subtitling. Now, I want to share too, though, that this tool is designed for the human to work with the tool. Even though the AI can do a lot of stuff pretty good, I program and work with AI. It's not perfect. You know, it needs a professional in there. And so,
well, and there's been some case studies in the news recently, maybe not the mainstream news, but in our local industry rags, there's been some case studies out there of, you know, big companies going full AI adoption and kind of regretting it afterwards.
Oh yeah.
I'm not gonna name any names. You can name names if you want to.
No, I'm not.
I'm gonna keep my pipeline scandal free.
I'm gonna do the same. So there's a lot of great companies, a lot of great technologies out there and stuff. And I will tell you, our AI is so good that some people will be tempted to use it that way. Mm-hmm. When I go to do the transcription cleanup, and again, we have a human involved in processing that. I change probably just a few words here and there on an entire video. I mean, it's just not a lot that I have to fix, but I need to fix those if it's going to be right. Mm. When we jump into the translation and voiceover, now we're talking about subtitling right now. Then it goes to the translation. I still need to fix stuff. I know Vietnamese, and Vietnamese pronouns, personal pronouns, are a lot more distinctive and different based on the relationships and stuff, and the AI doesn't quite get them right all the time. So yeah. I'm fixing those mostly. But otherwise, then we do the subtitle. Now, I also, when we built this one, when we say AI subtitle, we are doing that, but the human is working with it, but we keep the human in whole sentences. We don't do the SRT file that you're trying to edit and stuff like that and stuff. You see it in the video as it's going along with everything, and you just correct it. And the nice thing of having the video while you're correcting and just an audio, you pick up on nuances that help you get it a little better that you might not have seen before. And then we actually generate the final subtitles, the web VTT, the SRT, and a text file if they want. Yeah. With diarized speakers identified and everything. So all that can be done in one piece. So.
Well, and I've seen a demo of this, and it's pretty impressive how you can just go in there and fine tune things. And that's what you're talking about. And I should have said this like 10 minutes before we started, but it's like, could you give us a demo now, completely unprepared, or am I going to post a link in the comments for people to go?
No, I can jump right into a demo.
Do that. Maybe you can share your screens.
Yeah, let me just grab it here. I don't know where I left off when I was in it before. Okay, so can you see the screen okay?
Yeah, let me just pull it up on screen here. How am I going to do this? We'll just do this. I'm going to pull you over here like this. There.
All right. You see it good enough?
Yes.
So I'll jump into one that's kind of tough to do. This Boss Baby trailer here for a second, if that's okay. It does have some music and stuff from it, from other things, but
that's when all my things get copyrighted anyway, copyright claimed anyway. Right. Don't worry about the music.
Oh, you're good. All right. I just, I'm always worried about copyright and people's rights. I want to protect those as we go along. When you're in transcribe, you just see the text down here and you can just fix it anywhere. And the sound is in there as we're going along on it. You can see the sound wave is it's working. And I'll just play it for a second so you can get a feel for it.
Come one step closer, and I'll illuminate you with a soft glow, and I'll clean your clock. Oh, blimey.
Okay, so you get a feel for that. And you just do this. Like I said, I think I changed one or two words on this little two-minute video when I was cleaning that up. When I get over here, and if I was translation only, this mimic would not be chosen right now for this. It would just, it wouldn't have the sound wave. So if you're doing it just subtitling, then you just do the translation. Now, this one happens to be in Tamil. This is good. I didn't realize what one I grabbed. I just grabbed it off the cuff here. But anyway, so I'll just, the Tamil has actually been translated and the audio generated on the fly. One of the things about our AI is it's in the background. It just does its job. You don't have to go call it and pull something from somebody or whatever. But I'll just play this here. We'll have Alec Baldwin speaking Tamil here for a second.
Ek kadam aur paas aao, aur main tumhe ek naram chamak ke saath roshan karunga, aur main tumhari ghadi saaf kar dunga.
Now, right now, you'll notice that some of those extra sounds that were in there where he was making a lot of vocals, like, we have at the beginning to increase the, two reasons. One, to increase the quality of the transcription. We actually have a AI algorithm that does clustering and actually pulls out all the voice from the soundtrack and leaves just the music and other sound effects in there. And so when that's separated, we can then very easily just add in the foreign language. Right now, over here on the right, I have a little mixer, and I've just silenced the original voice right now as I'm playing this one here. But as it goes in and it starts doing some things here, I'll just play a little more.
देखो आप सभी ने ये फिल्म देखने का बहुत अच्छा निर्णय लिया है.
Now, by the way, I haven't edited any of this because I don't speak Tamil. Sure. I was just put it up the other day on that and stuff. So, I mean, it's close, I'm sure, but it's pretty good. And it just generates the audio. And if I click in here, it'll see it just generates the audio as we're going along. I'm going to jump to another one real quick, like maybe use a language that somebody might know. Let's see if I got that. What's this one in? Can't remember what language that one is. I guess if I click it, I'll find out. So that's transcribed. Oh, there just hasn't been translated yet. So that's just one I'm playing with the other. Let's go to this one here. This is in a language that I speak, and this is a video I actually worked on. So one of the other challenges of doing the cloning of voices is getting the what's called prosody, which is the expression of how people speak and their mannerisms in their speech and stuff like that. So this is putting it into Vietnamese, and I'm trying to capture some of that as we're doing it as well. So let me just play that for you. Here's movies are always a little tougher when you're doing.
Because that prosody, as you call it, that's something that typically you don't expect from AI generated voices.
Yeah. So because we are developing this for specifically just localizing the video, we're not developing this so you could clone somebody's voice and make them say something they didn't say or something different. We don't even allow that usage in here. We try to eliminate all nefarious purposes in here if we can, you know, and people find ways around them, but we do our best. But let me just play this here a little bit. We'll get a start of this, get a feel for it.
Tôi thà chết còn hơn trở thành một kẻ hoài nghi như anh đã trả.
Sớm thôi.
Cha tôi đã bị giết vì những kẻ như anh.
Oh, and I should just go ahead and do this, turn on the subtitles, because somebody probably doesn't understand that Vietnamese very well. So, okay, now when I play.
Quân đội, họ đã tìm thấy ông. Và họ buộc tội ông phản quốc. Họ cắt trái tim ông. Và cho chó ăn.
No. It basically will go through, it captures each person's voice, and it tries to get them to speak that foreign language. And our mimic cloning, too, is a little unique in this sense. And we can do things. I can actually, you know, if I need to move the audio around.
It's nice that you have the waveforms right there, because I noticed it actually generates to be the same length so that it's not, you know, voiceover going when the lips aren't moving or vice versa, right?
And I could. those things too. See, I can actually bring it in a little bit and it just regenerates the voice knowing it has this time frame to work from.
So, oh, wow. Okay. So it just speeds up the text. You can also like retranslate those if you don't, if you're not happy with the translation, right?
Yeah. So if I had one, I don't know if I have any in here that are, you know, kind of, this one's long, for instance. So we have an AI. This is one of the only AIs where you have to actually do something to actually have the AI do it. Otherwise, everything's just automatic. I hold down the command key and I hit the left arrow. You see how the audio wave is too long? Very common in localization, you know, if they got text gain or something like that. Now, this one's going to reduce it a lot on this one, I think, but I'll just click it. So it'll actually it'll do a paraphrase and then create a new audio for it to try to fit. Now, that one didn't actually make it shorter, but let me try it again. There we go. Do you see how I paraphrase that? And I can read the Vietnamese. It's actually pretty good. And now I've got one that kind of fits. So when you set in a audio, you know, a booth and you're working with the linguist and he's trying to say it and or she's trying to say it, and you're going back and forth, you're sitting there modifying the translation, trying to get the lips to sync up. This gives you the tools to just do it for you right there. Now, if I want to, I wanted to modify it again. I just, you know, I double click that segment and I can go in and change this translation to whatever I want.
So you can actually just retranslate it to whatever you want it to be.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So the tool just works with the linguist while they're doing it. And so when you're done, you get a very professional start to end, you know, lips aren't moving when they're not supposed to, when nobody's speaking and all that kind of stuff. You can get it matched up really good. And I had one the other day where a woman was crying a little bit in her voice. And, you know, you can hear that in their voice when they start to talk like that. The foreign language picked up on that and generated it with her tears in her eyes, you know, kind of thing. So and really, it's pretty quick. When you're done, I don't need to probably show too much more. But when you get down to the end, all you have to do is go back to the manage screen. If all the tasks are done, you can go over here and click on what assets you want to do. We provide all the assets from the source, you know, on the target here. If I just wanted subtitles, I could just do that. If I wanted each actor's vocals, a separate track for each one, foreign audio vocals track, that's just the foreign audio. Because sometimes people want to take this audio and put it into a player that can play multiple languages. You just switch between the languages and you get a different each time.
And it automatically, like for the movies and stuff, it automatically separates the voice tracks from the music and the background noises. And
it does it for every video.
Because that's one of the, you know, in my somewhat limited experience managing multimedia localization projects, that was always a challenge for me is, okay, yeah, we can localize this voice, but you didn't give me the raw files and I have zero way of separating the audio. But that was 10, 15, 20 years ago. Right.
I've dealt with it many years myself. And so this solves that problem. Yeah. So, and it puts it back together when you get it on the other end. You can go out to our YouTube channel at Atavox and on YouTube, and you can actually see some videos that are final. We don't have too many because a lot of our things are kept private because they're related to clients and things we're working with that just wanted us to help them with a video to do that. But we don't have permission to show it, so we won't.
Okay.
But a couple things that we've thrown up there and stuff. So, but anyway, it's really that simple. I hit build when I'm done and it builds all the files. It takes all those little pieces we saw in those segments of the video and all those things, builds every one of those files. And then you just hit download and it downloads the entire thing in a zip file with everything ready to go. And you can just start playing it. So from upload to download, this system gives you everything you need in between.
Very cool. So my next question, I guess, would be who are the users? You say this is a user assisted AI. It's not meant to do everything just on itself. It's meant to be kind of overseen by somebody. Who are the users? Are we talking to studios? Are we talking to linguists? Are we talking to LSPs? Like, who are your clients, essentially?
Yeah. Now, like I said earlier, the AI is good enough that some people could use it like they do other products, but I don't encourage that. I've been in the industry too long. We need a human in the middle on this. And this is for linguists. It's for LSPs, language service providers. It's for companies that have language talent in them, you know, that can actually just do their own stuff that can go through there. The nice thing is the AI does all the research. It finds the right terminology. Even if you get into stuff like medical or whatever, it pulls up the right stuff and you don't have to correct too many things. You know, but you do need that, what I'm calling a language architect. You need somebody who makes sure everything is just right, moves that little audio to the right spot, make sure that we got handled the text gain and the text loss, and fix those pronouns like I do in Vietnamese or whatever it is. Because I want to have this to be top movie quality output. Now, I am going to build a studio version of this. This is a web version. And this one, my studio version is going to be on site. Everything's protected for them. They get to do it, everything, and they can use the AI, and they have their linguist involved with it and stuff. And it'll have a few more capabilities than we have in here. But this version can do it pretty good. I can do a movie or a video to the point where it's as good as what the studios put out with all the talent that they put around it. So.
Yeah, and to me, that's amazing. Forgive my skepticism. I'm too old. Right, I've been around too long, just like you. I've always been told, you know, don't trust the machine translation. Don't trust the, you know, you want human quality output and stuff like that, right? So, but, and I'm not going to get into a debate of, you know, what is human quality output, right? Humans don't even give human quality output sometimes. But even if we were to say this isn't great studio quality, which I'm not saying. I'm not disrespecting you here, but even if we were to say that, to me, it opens up a whole new market for video localization that requires good enough, right? Yeah. And I think good enough are the two words that we're talking a lot about in our industry right now, because the public expectation or societal expectations, first of all, are shifting as far as what's good enough. And why, you know, there's this whole corpus of content, multimedia or otherwise, that 10, 15, 20 years ago just wouldn't have been translated. There's no money for it. There's no budget. There's no time. And now you can do all of that.
Yep.
Or multiple languages. You said you have voice matching in 70. Well, let's voice matching in 70 languages. It's like, well, before maybe I'll translate this into 10 languages. Well, if it's as easy as clicking a button, why not just translate it into 50 languages?
Yeah. And that's the thing, is we can actually get more content. The world is experiencing, like this podcast, they're experiencing things more in video form than they are in you know, text and documents and books anymore, even audio books. They want audio.
When I want to find research something, I go to YouTube.
Yeah.
I search and YouTube first.
So, but the problem is a lot of the world's knowledge and those videos are compartmentalized by language, and they don't cross over
for now.
This is designed to be able to get a good experience, like you said, good enough experience for those people on the other side that they're not bothered with it. Okay. Now, once we put the lip dubbing in there,
that's where I want to talk about next. Yeah, talk to me about that.
I can show you a quick little demo. It's a fun one we play with that if you want on that.
Yeah,
for the lip dubbing. Now, I haven't put it in for this reason. I want the quality to be good enough that it just isn't good enough yet for my program.
Yeah, okay. You don't get a second chance to make a first impression, right? So,
And for instance, we were doing some training the other day, and we were working on it, and the guy had a lip ring. I could handle your beard moving and everything else and your mustache, but that lip ring would disappear every time he spoke a foreign language.
So let's be clear. When you're talking about lip syncing, you're talking about actually changing the video so that the lips match the voice, rather than the traditional localization approach, which is jerry-rigging the translation, the voiceover, to try as best you can to match the lips. That opens up a whole new world of possibility, because you don't have all these clunky translations just to fit the lips.
Exactly. So this, what you're seeing right now with the voiceover, you can do that level of voiceover that's kind of the industry, what people do out there. When you get to the level where you're now changing the video, the mouth, to move according to the actual foreign language so that there is no distraction watching this in that target language, that's where I'm going. And I just need a little more time to finish polishing those models. But I'll give you a quick
You are going to show it to us. Okay.
I'll just show it to you.
All right.
I'll go back to YouTube here a second. Let's see. You want to position that okay? So you can see it all right?
There we go. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to jump on this one here. I played with this one. It's kind of fun. What I'm doing is I'm putting a politician who speaks Polish, okay? And he's very animated with his lips. That's one of the intentional things that I've done on this.
Okay.
And what I'm doing is I've got it in 4K on the left and 1080p on the right, just as, you know, different qualities that we've worked on so far. We're going to hear him just speak initially, but to make sure that somebody doesn't say, well, he just speaks English, you know, and so he's now doing it. I'm actually going to put Thor's voice over him from the Avengers, you know, and have him speaking with Thor's voice. Okay. That way, you know, it's not him actually, you know, moving his lips. So let me just play this for you here.
Jestem bardzo wylewny, bo mnie boli, nie? 500 zł renty za 35 lat pracy. Oszukali mnie banda złodziei polskich decydentów, kurwa.
I guess I'm just taking a break. We had this really cool adventure saving Earth. I was pretty happy. Anyway, so I needed some me time and I came to Australia and that's when I moved in with Daryl. And
Wow.
So let me share another one here for you. So you get the idea. But again, it's not good enough for me to release it yet. So I want it to be better.
And
so
obviously that's not a translation.
It's not a translation what he was saying. But the reason I did that is I don't want anybody to think that we kind of faked it out.
Well, it's a slippery slope, right? That kind of leads us into the whole ethics and AI conversation that we'll get to after this.
Yeah, definitely. Let me, now I'm gonna jump to this other video here. This is the Boss Baby one.
You really like Boss Baby, don't you?
Well, the reason that it's a challenge is because of so much music and other sounds and stuff going on. Voices changing, everything here. It's fun. I could switch over to this Red Dead one. I played it before, but I could also do Matthew McConaughey speaking Spanish if you want, whichever one you'd like.
Yes, I want Matthew McConaughey speaking Spanish.
All right.
I'm sorry. I've seen Boss Baby way too many times because of my kids. Oh, so
you bet. Here we go. I'll let others watch that out there sometime. So this is just a demo we were giving of it. We just recorded the demo at the time. So we were just showing how the product worked here. So
the other example, also for Dean, how well this does, I think, with Dean and Matthew's voice. I'll play it for you and you can kind of hear some of the sounds that are unique to both Dean and Matthew. I think that comes through here in our version of Mimic.
Está bien tomar una cerveza de camino al templo. Creo que el mayor arrepentimiento de nuestras vidas podría ser llegar al final y darnos cuenta de lo que pudo haber sido.
A veces nos decimos, hombre, me estoy golpeando la cabeza con esto, magullado y ensangrentado. Levanto la bandera blanca. Lucharé contra otra batalla, hombre. Tú tienes esa.
All right. So you got a feel for that?
Yeah.
So
that is, yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that's fun.
Room for improvement, as you said, right? But that's why you're not releasing it yet.
Well, that wasn't actually the lip dubbing. That was just him voiceover.
Oh, that was just the voiceover. Okay.
And it wasn't, and it was done by one of our technicians. And so he didn't even take the time to get the audio to line up with traditional voiceover stuff that you would see today. So that could be, you could improve on that just a little bit better. So
what's the, let's go into the ethics behind all of this, because this gives a lot. I mean, personally, maybe it's just because of my generation, I'm a millennial, whatever I am, millennial. I don't really get so freaked out about a lot of this stuff, but I know a lot of people do get freaked out about a lot of this stuff, which is it's giving power to people to manipulate footage, to create false evidence, dare I say fake news, right? It's been the buzzword in the last decade, it seems. What are your thoughts on this? How is this? Well, first of all, like, what are your thoughts on the actual threats and prospective threat of, you know, fake news and false information getting out there? And then after that, I like giving multiple questions at once. Then after that, I'd like to ask your opinion on what are the risks for you, for Adavox, and for the industry of upcoming regulation? Because we know that regulation always follows behind, you know, it moves slow. Regulatory bodies move slower than technological innovation. So 5-10 years from now, what are the risks of regulations? So that's kind of the two questions.
All right, so I'll start off. I right now, what people can do with the lip dubbing and lip syncing and the voice cloning, it is terrible what people can do with it out there. It is a real threat, and people need to be aware that they can't always trust everything that they see in video and audio that they have to actually be sure that what they're working with. Now, we designed Atavox so that we don't just give you a chance to pull from our feed, give it some text, and then use our lip dubbing to then, you know, make somebody in the same language say something different. We try to keep out of it all capabilities of doing deep fakes. It can only be used to do a localization project. So taking it from one language to the next language. And most people understand if it's localized video, it's, you know, that guy doesn't speak that language, you know.
Yeah.
It's fine. And we even have for when they go to publish it, we even have little icons, things that you could put on the show that this was AV enhanced, audio video, AI enhanced and stuff, so that they can label the videos appropriately when it goes in other languages and stuff. But the threats are real, and regulation is going to come on some of those things. We've tried to, with two, three reasons. One, I want this to be something that it works with the humans. It's just the same with writing documents or anything else or a software. I use AI when I write software. I mean, it helps me do the research and figure things out. I can write the code faster than I can on certain things, but it needs me as an architect to make sure it's doing the right things. And the same way with any AI, we kind of designed this tool to allow somebody who knows the language to architect a foreign version of the language version of the video without having to bring in as much talent as they did in the past, just do it all themselves, setting down. I have a video out there where I localized a 2-minute video in 8 minutes in transcription and translation and voiceover, and it was ready to go. So we try to control how we're doing that, and we'll have to make adjustments when they're doing it. I mean, if they require that everybody's voice that's being cloned in a video eventually, you know, if government comes out and says you have to have their permission to do that, then anyone that loads into our system will have to submit those permissions. You know, whatever comes up, we're going to be ready to adjust with it. So we've actually been very careful in how we even build our technology. We are very conscious of the fact that we won't go out to YouTube and just pull down videos and people speaking different languages and try to use it to build our models. We have to have permission from the people that a video that we're working with it. So we're not quite like all the AI companies out there that are doing this stuff. We actually, but it does limit how fast I can grow. That's one of the reasons why my lip sync isn't ready. I need more permission for more video and more faces and different languages to be able to get that content up to where it works much better.
The training data, yeah. I mean, there's an argument out there that, you know, the models are being trained with human created data, human creating bilingual data in this case. And there's an argument out there that in the future, when the majority of content out there is AI generated, there's not going to be any new content to any new data to continue to train engines on. So, and I don't know how much I buy into that. But I do want to ask you the question. You said I could ask you the hard questions.
Yeah.
Where does this leave professional voice talent? Because, you know, 10 years ago, voice talent was a very serious. You came into a studio, you're employed by a studio, you came in, you recorded your lines, right? Yeah, exactly. I've done it too. Then, you know, more recently, things have gone remote with the rise of the home studio for voice recording, specifically for, you know, especially for certain instances. And now with this tool that you're showing me, you can get pretty good voiceover with acting, right? So not just general synthetic voices, with acting, with the click of a button. So where does this leave the traditional voice talent?
So in reality, I feel like any of the industries that have AI right now are shifting a little bit. We're going to have less workers in some of those areas because a single worker can do so much more than they could before. But they're going to have to work with the AI. And those that are going to work with the AI, I kind of call them architects. They become a language architect, a localization architect, a translation architect, whatever it is that they're doing. But voice artists is another part of that. Actually, I think the voice artists out there who have the most experience in localizing videos and being in situations through their skills and ability, and they can hear things that a regular translator or somebody who speaks the language may not pick up on, they are probably going to be the best people to actually use a tool like this. It's going to be a tool for them, and they can localize so much more Now we do have a capability I didn't share with you, but it's kind of fun. We do have a voiced option there where you can actually put the human voice in there. And we have this, sorry, my daughter just stepped in.
Oh, it's summer break. I'm surprised I don't have half naked kids running around behind me. So
she just opens the door and comes right in. So, but it's great. We have 12 kids, so we have lots of family around. So,
okay. Well, I only have three. So,
you know what it's like.
Though. Yeah.
So, anyway, so the voice artists, when they're working in here, they can actually. So, one of the things that prosody I was trying to do, I'm still trying to improve that. I want to get the prosody better, but it's not perfect, just like any AI that we're working with. So, there are points where somebody is like yelling really loud and they change their voice totally. Hmm. That isn't going to pick up as well through our mimic on that we're doing it. But a voice artist can go in there and record how it really should sound with the foreign target language. And then I can actually take their voice and turn it into the voice of the person who was speaking on the screen. So that's in there right now. That's available. And so I expect with a, you know, if you're just doing a podcast or somebody talking, you know, we can capture most of that stuff like this, you know, training video, education, whatever. But if you're doing a real movie with real acting, you need a voice artist that knows how to express it in the target language.
Right.
So I'm just parroting that source, but really they have their own mannerisms when you get to the next language. And sometimes you want it to have that localized to that level. The voice artist can do that and still have, they can be one voice for all the male and one for all the female. And then I could clone them into all the different speakers all at once. So on the fly.
That's crazy. Well, what about, so keeping along this conversation, where are we with, because I know there's been a lot of debate in the entertainment industry, particularly there were whole strikes around it, around voice actors and just regular actors and their intellectual property rights to their own voices and their own likenesses and stuff like that. Do you see a shift in how this is handled contractually with voice actors or anything? How do you see that playing out?
Yeah, because I talk to studios and we're working with different ones right now, and they are concerned about that too. And so I work with actors and actresses that are concerned. So we try to build this to meet their needs as well. So that's one of the reasons why we won't, you know, studios are keep coming to us and says, well, your cloning is so good and it's got emotion. Can I just change what he said and put his voice in there? And we have to tell him no, because we're not going to jump into that space where you're replacing the actor's performance with AI. Does that make sense?
Right.
Our job is localizing. We just take it from one language to the next. So we maintain the actor's performance and put it in the target language. And we do something that the current industry doesn't do much. They usually have a different voice. If you go to Korea, Thor's voice is not Thor, you know?
Right.
Yeah. And lots of other places, and they got to get that, which is good. I mean, they're used to that. And so some situations they're not going to use our clone voices. They're going to record it because everybody's used to him sounding like this guy in Korea.
Yeah. Like the voice actor in Portugal for George Clooney is the same guy.
He's not going to change.
He's not going to change. Right.
With our technology either.
But
you know, they're going to still use that guy and those people on it. And they should.
Yeah.
That's what people are used to. But on a lot of other things, we can now do a little bit more with AI to help out with that. But we control it so that we're actually, you know, if a actor could perform a movie and they get paid by the distribution, right? And then we're not changing their performance. We're not doing their performance. We're just helping them put it into more languages.
Right.
They get paid by how well it does. Mm-hmm. You know, Avengers Endgame did 2.8 billion in the world. Only 1.9 in the U or 1. Something in the U.S.
Yeah.
1.2.
More languages equals more royalty checks. Why not? Right.
And so we're trying to be friendly to that worker, and we're trying to help the studios. I talked to a studio the other day. They said if you could get your lip dubbing to the level of it looks like it was filmed in the foreign language, and I would re-release everything I've done in more languages than I've ever done before because. Those countries wouldn't tolerate bad lipo voiceover.
Right.
Oh, and if you could do it for, you know, they said $25,000 per movie per language, I would do it all day and I would release everything else. Yeah. And so those are the types of things that we want to do. Allow the world to see more of what's going on, get more cross-cultural exchanges because the language barrier doesn't become a barrier anymore.
Yeah. And I am fascinated I don't want to say scared, but I am very fascinated. I'm very interested to see what 5 years from now, right? Yeah. Because the change is all, you've been around language services for a long time. Change is a constant, right?
Right.
Change has not changed. What's changed about change is the rate of change. And the acceleration of just how quickly things are changing now is fascinating to me. So 5 years from now, it's going to be a completely different world, just like it was 5 years ago. And so I think a question to start wrapping this up is, where do you see Adavox? Where do you see yourself? Where is this 5 years from now? Right now, you started off, you're bootstrapping, you're having some really interesting, I know because I talked to you offline, really interesting conversations with really interesting organizations out there. What's next for you?
Well, I appreciate that question. And we haven't even talked about our Adavox Meet. We call it AV Meet. And you can see that from our website too, which is, we wanted to just add on to say Zoom or, you know, Google Meet, which we're in right now, and anything else. The ability to actually live transcribe, translate, and put in things. But what we really want to do is have those 70 languages that people speak, which, by the way, we'll have it to 140 pretty soon, languages and dialects that we can have anyone speaking in that language. We want to basically have it so you can have live meetings where people don't even speak the same language. They can speak multiple languages, and they'll pick the channel they want to hear. And everyone that talks in that meeting will talk with their voice to those people in their own language.
Simultaneous live interpretation.
Yes, it's not hard to do. We've already built all the AI for it. We just need a little more time. We're in the process of raising some capital right now to help expand some of that stuff. We've already got it to do 70 languages. And, you know, our intent is eventually each person could have their own version of that AV Meet, and they would train it to clone their voice, create a vector embedding of their individual voice.
How much data, how many hours of voice do you need in order to train an engine on your voice?
Believe it or not, I actually, to train the voice, some people speak for just a small segment in the sentence, sometimes 1, 2, 3 seconds, sometimes less. We're actually cloning those voices fine.
Really? Okay. Yeah, I was curious about that.
At the same time, to get the clone a little better, we'd like about a minute if we can. But we can clone it with really low.
Wow.
With a minute of video. So if they talk on the screen for a minute and just talk different ways, their emotions and turn their head or whatever, you know, we can then take them and put them with AV Mimic. Our intent is that when you have a webinar or something like that, you know, anyone that wants to hear it, hear themselves and just broadcast to everybody else, it'll cost them $50 a year or $5 a month. And they could go out there and have as many meetings as they want with people that they don't even speak the language, and they'll understand each other. And now, that's relying entirely on AI. There's no human in the middle, but the AI has gotten good enough that it would handle that situation as well as an interpreter. Sometimes I've been interpreting, and the guy's talking so fast, I miss pieces, and sometimes they're just it's just not quite right. This is actually a little better than some interpretation that's not done by
professional. Interpreting's just it's a grueling work, and I kind of purposefully didn't go down the because I see this as like two separate but related things: the multimedia stuff, which is super cool, and then the AI interpreting stuff. And it's really kind of two separate conversations, but they're both cool. I just wanted to geek out on the multimedia stuff
today. Well, and then the localization, we'll have the lip dubbing in there. We'll have it to the point where we'll have a studio version, so that you know, if you wanted to go to a higher end one where you do it all in-house, it's not on a web browser, all of that can be done as well. That's where we're going with this. And our intent is to just actually eliminate the need for subtitles. Closed captions, great, because people don't hear sometimes. That's fine. Yeah. But I'm going to eliminate the need for subtitles, and I'm going to eliminate bad lip voiceover. Yeah. We just want to make it so that anyone that experiences a video in another language can experience like it was filmed in that language originally for them. So,
well, and it'll happen too. All right.
Yeah, we're close.
Last question. So you guys are out there, you're raising more funding. So if you're listening to this and you have a billionaire uncle, tell him to give Tim a call. My last question, because I get a lot of students and people that are just coming into this industry that listen to this podcast. Knowing what you know about where the industry is going today, and you've been around for a while here, you know what you're talking about. What recommendations would you have for the next generation of localization professionals here? What topics should they be studying in college? Should they be going to college? Where should they be focusing their time? What skills should they be investing in?
Well, I think they still need to invest in their language skills.
Okay.
And the breadth of those skills.
Okay.
Still very important. AI can help. But it's AI assisted localization. It's not doing the whole job all the time. A great professional can pick up on nuances, can express things in a way that'll mean more to the person on that foreign language than what the original word said. If you rely on AI to translate it, it's going to try to do it the way he said it. And sometimes culturally, right, it needs to be adapted.
A great translator will have a better product than the source sometimes.
Always. And that's why we built this. It'll do the research. It'll pull up stuff. It can even help them shorten and lengthen it if they want to. But ultimately, they double click on that. They put the right translation in there. And the voiceover just gets generated automatically and they go for it. So linguists are needed here. And just like any profession right now with AI, you know, there's less engineers. Yeah, a lot of engineers being let go. But you know the ones that are not being let go? Those that know how to use AI to help them do their job, and their productivity is really high. Yeah. You know, last couple of days, I was working on a project. I wrote almost 2,000 lines of code with AI helping me and tested it and debugged it. I couldn't have done that a few years ago. So,
no, I like to say it's like my son, I've said the story before on the podcast, but it's like my 9-year-old son created a robot for his science fair. I helped a little bit, right? Let's say, I'm not an electrical. I don't know anything about building robots or codes or anything. ChatGPT just wrote the code for me. Right?
Well, and I will tell you, just like in programming, I couldn't accept everything that it gave me. And I had to be the architect that told it what it needed to do and how to do it. And then I just let it do the little writing stuff. It's the same way with a linguist. The linguist has to work with the AI and make sure it's the higher quality stuff. Their jobs are not going to go away. They're just going to be elevated to, you know, like it's like a marketing company. The head guy tells everybody what to write. Well, AI can write better than I can right now, but it doesn't know what to write. It doesn't.
Exactly.
The human to review what it did to make sure it's right.
Right. And exactly.
And that's the same with, that's why I like call them, you know, localization architects, AI localization architect. They move into that's where they need to move to, is use the tools that help them do a lot more, a lot faster, but move it out. And like I said, we're not going to get rid of the voice artist because some of these performances still need them.
Yeah.
And we just clone over them so that it sounds like that original actor's voice. And that promotes the actor better. If he goes in that country and starts talking and he says something and they go, what?
Right.
Is this the right guy?
Chris Hemsworth will still sound like Chris Hemsworth.
Exactly. So, yeah.
Well, very cool. Tim, I think that's about out. We're about out of time today. Thank you so much for coming on here and showing this. Like I said, I got a sneak peek beforehand, so I was already super excited about it, but I'm glad that you were able to share it with everybody else. Any closing thoughts before I wrap us up?
Oh, I just really appreciate Namidzi and this opportunity. I mean, you guys are great.
Oh,
I know a lot of what you do. You know, you guys are top-notch when it comes to doing this kind of stuff. And I appreciate you inviting me on here. That was nice. Thank you.
Oh, pleasure was all mine. I appreciate it. All right, I'm going to take us out here. Ladies, gentlemen, chat, we are out of time today. If you enjoyed this NIMSI Live experience, join us next month in August. You can go to our LinkedIn page, our LinkedIn events page, and see the upcoming events that we have on the calendar. You can sign up for those so that you'll be notified the second that we go live. I appreciate our guest today, Tim Hunt from Adavox. I appreciate my colleagues here at NIMSI Insights doing all the hard work so I can have these interesting conversations. And finally, I appreciate you, the audience, who are joining us live today. And I look forward to next time. Cheers.